represents the investor class. Diving through their tax shelters. Frank Smith.
At every trough you stop to feed. With your arrogance, your ignorance and greed. Now here come the cuts and redundancy. Through the absolute indifference, the avarice, incompetence, your arrogance, your ignorance, your greed.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. So big weekend as people all across the country took to the streets to protest the, well, the horrible tax plan, the ripoff, the theft, however you're going to put it, the Trump plan. And you got to wonder, he ran on, we're going to help the middle class, we're going to help the working class, and what'd he do? Well, he enriched his class. And I know I get people all the time, Rick, it's because you tax and spend liberals. What about the crippling debt conservatives, the ones who have given away our future so that the wealthy can have more today? What about that? And here to talk about the weekend's marches, I've asked Tim Hogan to come talk with us. He's a spokesperson for the Not One Penny Coalition. Tim, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, thanks for having me on.
So all across the country, you had thousands of people out in the streets. What was going on?
Yeah, so this year was the one-year anniversary of the tax march, which we started in April of 2017. On tax day, our original demand was to see Donald Trump's tax return. That is still one of our demands. But our focus has shifted a little bit now that the GOP tax law has started to take effect. And this swell of grassroots support from activists, elected officials, community leaders across the country is pretty incredible. We had more than 100 events happening coast to coast to hold Republicans accountable for forcing the tax law through Congress. And demanding that they repeal it. We were told over and over again that this is good for the middle class, but the reality is that the 83% of the tax breaks in this bill go to the richest 1%. It does nothing to unrig the system. It further rigs the system. And people are rightfully upset. They are still taking to the streets, and we are going to hold those accountable who voted to support this terrible law.
Yeah, and as I understand, you guys are putting billboards up in 30 Republican districts, you know, to let people know how much they individually are going to benefit from this tax law.
That's right. Yep, we went up today, actually, with 30 billboards in congressional districts across the country to outline how members of Congress are actually using this law to line their own pockets, and it's textbook corruption. When they were finalizing the bill and looking at how they were going to calculate pass-through income, people started paying attention to what was known as the Corker kickback. And Bob Corker, Senator Corker, sort of became the face for how this bill could be used to benefit people who are involved in real estate or have a certain way that they run their business. But it's not just him. It's members of the Republican Party from across the country. It's Mike Rogers, Doug LaMalfa, Justin Amash, Mike Kelly, Tom Marino. It goes on and on and on. Ron Johnson, Lamar Alexander, Rob Portman. And some of them are pocketing over $1 million, and many of them tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this isn't really something that's been examined, but it's just another example of how the massive payday for this tax bill wasn't for the middle class. It was for those who are already doing well and didn't need any additional help.
Yeah, to steal a Nancy Pelosi line and tweak it a little bit, the more we find out about it, the more we really don't like what's in this. And you were right at the beginning. You know, you said they forced this through. I would like to use a Tea Party frame if I could. They rammed it down our throats, Tim!
Yes, they did. And it was a process that had so little input from the middle class. It was so unpopular. You touched on this a little earlier. It was so unpopular when it was making its way through the legislative process for good reason, because people do not, if you tell someone you're going to get a tax cut, sure, whatever, I'm going to get a tax cut, that's great. But what rightfully pisses people off is, oh, I get $1.50, and the wealthiest Americans are going to walk away with tens of thousands of dollars, and you're going to use that as a pretext to start cutting my Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. It's terrible. And the process that they went through, there were over 6,200 lobbyists. 57% of all the lobbyists in Washington lobbied on this bill. And so who is this bill written for? It is not written for the middle class, and it is written for the special interests who can afford those lobbyists. It is simply, not for working families.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I like the way it was written. You say it was written for. I would argue that it was written by lobbyists.
Yes, it was. It was written by lobbyists, almost quite literally. I mean, you remember when the bill was going through final passage, we had notes scrawled in the corners of the piece of legislation. And, you know, there are we're starting to see the effects of what that means for our larger economy, too. You know, we are seeing that corporations are the wealthiest corporations are averaging about $5 billion a day in corporate stock buyback. That does nothing to help the middle class. All that does is help CEOs who, you know, now we've just learned the other day have a medium average pay in the United States of about $15 million. So they're doing okay. All it does is line their pockets because a lot of their bonuses are tied to the performance of their stock.
Right.
And it helps them and it helps their wealthy shareholders.
Yeah. But Tim, it'll all trickle down to us. It's going to be great. Eventually it's got to trickle down. Eventually their pockets get full and something's got to spill out, Tim. Come on. Eventually, right, if we just did it enough, eventually something will fall out.
Yeah, decade after decade after decade, I feel like we've heard that and we just haven't seen it yet. But maybe if we just, you know, loot the entire federal government, then at that point maybe some of it will start to trickle down. But it's not, you know, it just isn't. And it's just an economic reality that, you know, a majority of American workers aren't seeing a benefit from the tax plan. And there are study after study saying that it's, you know, not likely going to spur investment to create new jobs. In fact, you know, one of the most egregious explanations we got was from the CFO of Kimberly-Clark. Once the bill passed, their spokesperson said very clearly, oh, no, we're going to take these tax breaks and actually invest in laying people off. So, you know, we're seeing companies lay off workers, pocket their tax savings. We're seeing oil companies, big pharmaceutical companies get billions from the tax law. And are those pharmaceutical companies doing anything to lower the cost of prescription drugs? No. Those benefits are not trickling down. They never have, and I wouldn't expect that they will anytime soon.
But here's the thing. I mean, in the very short time when they were maneuvering to ram this down our throats, I was arguing exactly what has happened. You're going to see massive stock buybacks. The wealth class is going to get wealthier. You're going to see foreign investors overwhelmingly take a large chunk of it. It's not going to trickle down to the rest of us. And there are going to be massive layoffs. Why? Because we've seen this movie before. You go back to the George W. Bush years. We saw this happen. They did the exact same thing back then, and the exact same thing happened. So why are we surprised? I guess the difference, because there is a slight difference here. There were a handful of bonuses that were paid out as, you know, kind of a PR stunt to get us to think, oh, we got something. Kind of like the Bush Prize when they sent out the $300.
Yep. Yeah, that is true. That was I will give them credit that was a very well organized PR campaign. But at the end of the day, only about 2% or less of the workforce saw a benefit from those bonuses. And, you know, you go from case to case, and there's always sort of a hook, you know. Oh, you want to get the full $800? Well, you must have worked the company for a full 20 years. You know, at Disney, they were actually using those bonuses as leverage to get concessions out of the union. So, there's a fuller story to tell there. And part of it, too, is not just the inequality of this bill, but that it has effects on people beyond their immediate paychecks. You know, people forget that, you know, you repealed a portion of the Affordable Care Act in the tax legislation that is going to result in 13 million Americans losing access to affordable health care. That in the long run, because of the way that they structured reducing deductions and capping certain things that a lot of middle-class families rely on, that 53% of American families are going to see tax hikes once this plan is fully phased in, despite Republicans saying that this is going to be a middle tax tax cut. And the CBO even said that this plan is going to increase healthcare premiums by 10% every year. So it is a disaster. It is exactly what you said. We've seen this over and over again. We saw it with George W. Bush and previous Republican administrations. And I can't stress enough, too, that this is just a pretext that we see them continually use, that we're going to add $1.8 trillion to the national debt, and how are we going to pay for it? We don't care about losing that revenue through tax cuts. What we will do is try to make up for it by cutting Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. And you saw it last week. I don't think this is going to go anywhere, but you saw the House Republicans try to pass a balanced budget amendment. Well, okay, you want to balance the budget now that you've looted the federal government.
Yep.
It's just a pretext for gutting critical social programs.
And the good thing is, I think the American people are kind of, I'm hoping, wising up. I mean, I just talked about the latest Gallup poll. Just 39% of people in their poll said they approve of the tax scheme. The NBC Wall Street Journal poll, just 27% approve of this piece of garbage. So I'm hoping that people are seeing this, and that as we continue down the road, it gets worse, because I think what you guys did over the weekend, having people out in the streets, raising awareness, talking about how bad this is, can only move us, hopefully in November, closer to coming back to sanity.
Yep, I completely agree with you. I think what we're seeing is a lot of energy in the streets. And I would say, too, what is our test case right now for, is this bill some sort of electoral salvation that the Republicans are trying to tell us that it is, that they're going to run on this and it's really going to help them in the midterms? Well, the one test case we have so far is Pennsylvania 18. And they ran, and spent millions and millions of dollars going after Connor Lamb, trying to tie him to Nancy Pelosi, and also saying, he wants to raise your taxes. And Connor Lamb, to his credit, stood up and said, no, I'm not for this tax scam that puts us deeply in debt and is a giveaway to the wealthiest Americans. And at the end of the day, they took that advertising down. Their advertising from the Congressional Leadership Fund, from Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, those dollars no longer were spent on ads selling the tax bill because it wasn't moving anybody. And at the end of the day, not one penny, we actually went up with an advertisement on radio in that district going on offense on the tax bill. So I think Pennsylvania 18 was a good sign of things to come. The polls that you cite, there was a little bump after the bill passed. It's just what happens. Once a bill passes, people think of it as a winner for a little bit, but we're starting to see the effects. And that bump is now being deflated. People are coming back to where they were, and they just have no appetite for this toxic bill.
Yeah, so where do you go from here? I mean, you had all the energy for the weekend. In fact, I saw there are some events today and some even still for tomorrow, which is actually tax day. What are we hoping for in the coming weeks and months as we go towards next year?
Yep. Well, we've actually got about 40 events still going on throughout this week. We have had people who wanted to coordinate things beyond just Sunday and beyond just the tax day tomorrow. We're having a rally on Capitol Hill with Senator Schumer and Leader Pelosi and other members of Congress who are going to come rally in support. We've been doing a repeal the Trump tax tour across the country, from California to Florida to Minnesota, Iowa, Arizona, Nevada. We've been across the country, and we're going to keep that energy up. And we're going to just continue to call out Republicans where we see them being hypocritical. And you are seeing them talk less and less about this tax bill, whether it's because they just can't break through the chaos that Donald Trump is creating, or they're seeing the writing on the wall. And notice that Paul Ryan's retired despite having his so-called legislative accomplishment, passed through the Congress. I just don't think they have much, but we're going to continue to hold them accountable in every way that we can.
Oh, I'll tell you, I sure hope they run on it in November. I hope they run on "We made the wealthier wealthier." I hope that's their campaign slogan.
Right, exactly. It's not too compelling.
So the other side of this, last line of questioning, because this all comes back to elections matter. What do the Democrats run on? I've been saying for a very long time, we need a very progressive income tax. I would say, emulating, the one that Ronald Reagan took over, or maybe even the one that the good Republican socialist President Dwight David Eisenhower had.
Right. Well, I think there are a lot of things that Democrats can run on against this Republican agenda. I think economically, we can start with repealing the most obvious and egregious tax giveaways to the super rich and corporations. Let's fix those parts of the tax code. That means things like a fairer estate tax, repealing the Trump loophole and the provisions that created the Corker kickback, reinstating a strong minimum tax for the rich, or a corporate tax code that doesn't preference people who do outsourcing and offshoring, and, you know, closing special tax breaks and loopholes in the current code for little things like for golf course owners and hedge fund managers and oil companies. Those are things we've been talking about for a really long time, and I think there is a populist energy out there that Democrats can definitely latch onto and harness. And, you know, if there are voters out there who thought maybe Donald Trump was the answer in some way, that he was different, that he was going to come to Washington and shake things up, I mean, after a couple of years, after I would say a month, but, you know, once we get to the midterms in November 2018, it's just so clear that he was just a wolf in sheep's clothing, that he has done the same things that Republican presidents have done in the past, but he's just been much more blasphemous and boisterous about it and much more dangerous. So, you know, whether that's stocking his cabinet with Wall Street insiders or pushing for legislation that has nothing to do with helping the middle class, it's pointing out those things, I think, really latching onto a true populist agenda that'll help the middle class.
No,
that's what Democrats need to do.
No, you're absolutely right. And I remember asking right after the election in November, and asking some of my labor friends, you know, how are you planning to take advantage of the anger that's very real and that's out there when Trump fails them? Because as you pointed out, there's still tax breaks for offshoring jobs. And that was one of the things he ran on that would never fly under his administration. He only made it worse.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. He is at best a con artist and, you know, has done so little to help the middle class. And I again, just going back to Pennsylvania, being a district with, you know, core, very strong unions, I think across the country, labor is awake and that they're ready to engage in 2018. And, you know, we're going to be standing right there with them side by side.
Good stuff. Where should people go to get more information?
They should go to notonepenny.org, and they can learn more about the different activities we're going to be doing in the weeks and months to come, and sign up for you know, the emails that we send out and join our group.
Good stuff. Tim, I appreciate the time. I hope you'll come back and keep us up to date on what's going on.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Rick.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, Tim Hogan, spokesman for Not One Penny. And again, take a look at their website, notonepenny.org. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Where smart policy and sound investment matters. The Rick Smith Show.